Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Suzy Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really, really glad you tuned in today. Today's conversation is for you, and it is for me, because all of us, at times, we let our souls get into despair. You know, you think of the psalmist who said, "Why so downcast, O my soul? Put your trust in the Lord." Well, one of the reasons Live the Promise even exists is so that we can learn to apprehend what Christ has made available for us. And I think one of the deep passions that gets me out of bed every day is that we would take God at his word and live like his promises are true, because life on earth is short and eternity is long. And how we live here does deeply affect how we live there. And I just, you know, when you think about scripture that says you don't want to be ashamed at his coming, that there's a moment when we face Jesus and we give an account for our lives. And we're in that moment, what if you realized you lived your whole life with your arms over your head, covering your head in fear, in reaction to your insecurities, rather than a response to God's love and his promises? It matters if you and I live by faith. And yet so often we trade peace for anxiety, hope for despair, and we live under condemnation when we've become the righteousness of Christ Jesus. And I'm telling you, to move from being a spiritual orphan to being an heir is a very big deal. And the more that we can understand what Jesus has provided for us, the more fruitful our lives will be and the more flourishing our souls will be. Well, a while back, I had Heather Holloman on the show, and she wrote a great book, and we had a lot of great response from it, Seated with Christ. And she talked about what it meant to be seated with Christ. What does that mean to actually, in the land of the living, on earth, in these earthen vessels, to be seated with Christ? Amazing interview. Well, she's just released a brand new book. I love it just as much. Guarded by Christ, Knowing the God Who Rescues and Keeps Us. I don't want to waste another moment. I want to tell you about her. Let's get our conversation started. Heather Holloman's a popular speaker, writer, and college instructor. She studied shame and narcissism for her doctoral work in English literature. I think we talked about this before. She's got to come back to talk to us about that. She lives in Pennsylvania with her husband, Ashley, and their two daughters, and we're glad to have her back with us today. Heather, welcome back to the program.
Oh, I am so glad to be here. I've been looking forward to this interview, Suzy. I love your program.
Well, thank you. We love you and love talking with you as well. And as you know, since you've been on before, we love to start out by talking scripture. And you chose a passage from Ephesians 3, 16 to 21. And you've got such a great voice. I would really love for you to read it if you've got it in front of you. Otherwise, I'm happy to, because I put you on the spot here. I didn't tell you ahead of time I was asking you to do that. Do you need me to read it, or do you have it?
My favorite part of Ephesians 3:16 is just a small little phrase that I think your readers will be blessed by. It's just Paul's prayer that we would be strengthened with power in our inner being. That's just the idea that really captured my heart. Paul's prayer is that we would be strengthened with power in our inner being to know the love of Christ, this immeasurably more, these privileges of being a child of God. And that's what sent me on this journey to think, what is God doing in my inner being? Why do I need to be strengthened with power in my inner being? So that's what I love. But if you have the whole verse in front of you, you can read it, but I'm turning to it right now. So Ephesians 3, this is Paul's magnificent prayer. He says, "I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." Isn't that the best?
It's amazing.
I just need to read that verse every day.
Indeed, indeed.
But it's the strengthened with power in my inner being that really captured my mind this year.
Wow. And I can't wait to unpack that even more. One of the things that stands out to me in that, as well as to know this love, is to be filled with the fullness of God. I mean, his love,
yes,
his power. There's so much more that we've yet to experience. And I know that's just one of your passions as well. And Heather, before we dig into this new one, Guarded by Christ, for those who missed our first interview, just unpack a bit of what it actually means, just to give us context in the conversation. What does it mean to be seated with Christ?
Seated with Christ comes straight out of Ephesians 2, which I think is the most revolutionary chapter of the entire Bible. It says that we have been raised with Christ and are seated with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. It's a past tense verb. It's a declared reality about us right now. And it means that at this very moment, you are seated at the greatest table with the greatest king. And in my heart, what God did through that verse is, Susie, I was fighting for an invitation to the table that I thought would finally bring me life. I was depressed. I was jealous. I had this profound fear of missing out. I hated my life. I compared my children, my home. I was sad every day about the life I was missing. And I read Ephesians 2:6, and it was as if the Lord said to me, Heather, you can stop fighting. You already have a seat at the table you've been longing for all your life, and now you need to learn how seated people live. So seated with Christ was all about what it means to live as if the life you've been longing for is already available to you because of Jesus. So seated means you're at the table that you want. It's happening right now. So it changed my life, and it's changed the lives of so many readers. It's such a powerful passage.
And a powerful book as well. So this one, Guarded by Christ, you open the book with a story about a time when you were about 1,000 miles away from home, and God brought a fresh revelation to your soul. So tell us that story.
Well, after writing Seated with Christ, I really felt free from jealousy and comparison. My identity in Christ was so strong. But, Susie, I still felt so immature inside. I did not feel like the strong woman described in Proverbs 31 who is clothed with strength and dignity and can laugh at the days to come, or these kind of mature heroes of the faith that are wise and have no fear of bad news, like it says in Psalm 112. So I'm reading Psalm 97:10, and it just says, God guards the lives of his faithful ones. And another translation is, he's guarding the souls of his people. And I looked up that Hebrew word guard, and it is so deep and expansive and complete of God's perfect care for us and how his guarding presence is always available in our soul. And I asked myself that day, why am I still battling all this immaturity and this disorganized inner being that really wasn't strengthened with power through Christ? It was more living out of anxiety, depression, a sense of hopelessness, fragility, feeling like weak every day, also feeling condemnation. So I began to identify all these toxic mindsets. And I thought, no, a person in God's guarding care doesn't live like this anymore. How does someone live when they truly believe that they're in the guarding presence of God at all times, no matter what's happening to them? So that's what began the journey to search the scriptures about this new understanding of Jesus as my guarding God.
So beautiful. You also wrote that, in your Christian life, as you touched on, you rarely felt secure. I so appreciated that honest statement. And I'd say that's true for many, if not most, Christians. Why do you suppose that is? When you think of everything Christ has offered us, is it really just a misunderstanding of what he's offered, or that coupled with we're just not willing to go after it and apprehend this truth and make it our own?
Well, since I've been in education so long, I figured the reason I don't inhabit these privileges that God has given me is I forget. I live out of the old self every day. And so I thought to myself, just like seated with Christ, I was able to really inhabit that biblical reality. I pictured myself just as Paul does in my seat in the heavenly realms. So with guarded, I asked myself, okay, what did the biblical writers picture in their own minds when they thought of God's guarding care? Because our mind works best in images. And I knew if I could think of the right image that the Holy Spirit could recall it each morning, I could remember. So did you know that over 100 times in the Psalms, the writers picture God's guarding care as a fortress, a tower, a refuge? And I just got so excited when I looked at these biblical images. My favorite one is Psalm 71:3, where it says, be to me a rock of refuge to which I may always go. And it says to God, you are my rock and my fortress. So a large part of my understanding of being guarded was placing myself daily in the fortress of his care. I pictured Cinderella's castle. I literally pictured myself in this castle every day. God, I'm in the fortress of your care. Nothing can happen to me that you don't allow. And even if my whole world falls apart, this is about my inner being. This is about my soul, which actually helped me understand how heroes of the faith can say things like, it is well with my soul, even when their whole life falls apart. I thought of Horatio Spafford writing, it is well with my soul. You know, when his children died in the shipwreck, he penned that hymn as he's crossing their watery grave. And I thought of Corrie ten Boom, who the famous story where her sister's dying in the Nazi concentration camp, Betsy is able to say to her, there is no pit so deep that God is not deeper still. I mean, they knew him in their inner being, even when everything else was falling apart. So I think to answer your question, we need to have a good picture of what Scripture's saying. So for me, it was the fortress in my inner being.
So what would happen if we woke up in the morning, we saw ourselves at the Knights of the Round Table? I mean, saw yourself at this divine table with a King of Kings, and you pictured yourself in the fortress. I mean, imagine what would happen in our inner man if we could see that, if we could have that visual. I mean, that's what you're saying, isn't it?
Well, it is. And I thought, Jesus, you've given us such beautiful biblical pictures, but we often don't know how to use them and how to recall data from Scripture. I don't know about you, but I memorize a lot of Scripture and I forget it. I wake up and I'm in bad moods. And one of the reasons why the book felt so vulnerable to readers is I talk about my battle of waking up in a bad mood. I feel condemnation. I'll feel anxiety. I'll feel that hopeless feeling. I'll feel really exhausted, like I just can't do what I have to do during the day. And sometimes I even battle that narcissism that I talked about, you know, for my dissertation work, that sense of self-obsession. So these toxic mindsets are, it's a daily putting off of the old self. And I think if we really pictured ourselves in the fortress of God's care, we would learn how to combat all of those toxic mindsets, because Jesus is our guarding God. And in that fortress, he presents himself as righteousness, peace, hope, power. It's so powerful, Susie.
Indeed it is. Talking to Heather Holloman, her brand new book is titled Guarded by Christ, Knowing the God Who Rescues and Keeps Us. She has such clarity in this book. I love it. There's three copies we have here. I would love to get a copy into your hands. Going to do the drawing way, so email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Include your mailing address. If you've got a question for Heather, include that as well. More great conversation with Heather on the other side. Hope you're having a great day today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Well, my guest today said that she once lived as a prisoner to condemnation, anxiety, despair, weakness, and even self-importance. One day she read a simple Bible verse, Psalm 97:10. God guards the lives of his faithful ones. And suddenly she began to seek out what it means to live a life guarded by God. And something sparked in her soul. That someone is Heather Holloman. She's written a beautiful book titled Guarded by Christ, Knowing the God Who Rescues and Keeps Us. And in your first book, Seated with Christ, you said this is where you really wrestled with your sense of identity because you're seated with Christ. But still you noticed that your soul always wasn't at peace, wasn't in kind of rhythm and harmony. There was despair there. And I like how you connected that to maturity. Because I wonder how connected maturity is with this idea of trusting that we're guarded by Christ. What have you found as you've wrestled with this whole topic and dug into Scripture as you have?
Well, what I realized is that we are indwelt by a living God. Jesus is a living presence within us and that intimacy with him. And I began to ask, okay, God, you're guarding my soul. Who are you? What are you doing in the secret place of my soul? And as I searched the Scripture, I realized that when you think about him as our righteousness, that we, you know, Romans 8 says that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I thought about God as my righteousness. And Scripture talks a lot about the guarding presence of righteousness, that we're guarded by it. It's our rear guard. You know, we've got the breastplate of righteousness from Ephesians 6. And I thought, God, this righteousness, you are my righteousness. This is true in my soul. And then what happened was, is as an educator, I also like to use contrast. So I said, you know what? I'm not going to be condemned anymore. I move from condemned to confident before Jesus. I can approach the throne of grace with confidence to find help in my time of need. And if you look at Hebrews 10:19, it says, we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. Can you imagine, Susie, at any time, you enter into the presence of a holy God who wants to meet every need that you have. I don't know many Christians that approach God with the confidence that he is listening, that he is making himself available, that as soon as you ask, he begins to move. Even often before you ask, he's moving on your behalf. So those condemnation feelings, I was able to say, no, I'm in the fortress of God's guarding care. Righteousness is available to me at all times. I move from condemned to confident. And I use the image of a catapult because I love the medieval castle imagery. And I thought of myself catapulting into Jesus's presence each day, that I'm able to hurl myself into his presence, and he's delighted. He wants us to be with him. And, you know, I talk to a lot of neighbors who say things like, well, God's too busy for my problems. He doesn't want to talk to me. He's disappointed. He's not listening. I don't know if you've had listeners that feel that way, that God does not, God's not eager and willing to respond. You know, one writer says that we have to imagine God's highest willingness to listen to our problems and meet the needs of our lives. So that really began to build maturity in me, that I wake up with confidence that God is with me. I'm covered by his righteousness. I have full favor with God, who is desiring to meet my needs and make all the privileges of being a child of God available to me.
Well, you know, one of our other guests talked about when you just name the emotion, the negative emotion, it actually brings, you know, it settles things down in your spirit. So for you to verbally not only name it, but to make a trade with it, I'm not going to be condemned anymore. I'm moving into confidence in a holy God who promises to be there for me. I mean, imagine, because faith comes from hearing. Your ears are hearing you say these truths, but you're verbalizing something that we are invited to. I mean, what did that do in your soul?
Well, it helped me really realize a lot of things going on spiritually and what I'm reading in the Bible. I mean, why do we need to be guarded by righteousness? It's because we have an enemy that is the accuser, and his primary work is to accuse and condemn. So if you wake up in the morning and don't feel, you know, the favor of God, the joy of God, the delight of fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and you know, you've searched your heart for sin, you've come before God confessing and repenting, and yet you still feel condemned, like you're unworthy, that God would never listen to you, that you've ruined your life. That's the enemy. So I love what you're saying. You do need to replace those negative emotions. And in fact, Paul tells us to do that. If you look at Ephesians, the way we renew our lives, we put off the old, and then we have to put on the new. So for me, it was the old me is condemned. The new me is confident. And I just quote Romans 8:1, my anchoring Bible verse. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, no matter what you've done, no matter how bad you feel right now. No, there's no condemnation. And you're guarded by it. You're in the fortress of that guarded, righteous place. So I don't know. It changed everything. Does that answer your question?
Fantastic.
You know me, I love to go on.
No, I absolutely love it. I think somebody's leaning in and taking notes right now. So would you say you do the same thing with, you know, I'm not anxious, I'm embracing the peace because I serve the Prince of Peace. I reject despair and I'm embracing hope. I mean, you kind of walk through that, or was your big one condemnation and confidence?
No. Well, it was different at different weeks or months of my life. In fact, the book was so powerful for me that I actually don't battle condemnation as much. But anxiety had been a regular battle for me. I've been to doctors. I've had medication. I don't know if you have listeners who are battling acute anxiety, but for 6 years, I definitely felt, you know, people describe me as pretty unstable. I definitely had an anxiety disorder. So when I'm reading scripture where Jesus is named our Prince of Peace, where he says his peace is available. And if you look at Philippians 4:7, it says, may the peace of God guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So I saw that verb again. I looked it up in the Greek, and it means that we are under the military protection of peace. It's like imagining literal guards around our soul guarding us by peace. And I really cling to 2 Thessalonians 3:16, may the God of peace give you peace at all times and in every way. Now, what's tricky about this is a lot of times my anxiety doesn't necessarily calm down. I feel like my mind is my enemy. Well, if you look at Ephesians 3 and the scriptures about our soul and our inner being, you know, our mind might not always obey what is true in our soul. Part of sanctification, I think, you know, growing in godliness is that your mind is transformed and renewed to line up to what is actually true in your soul. So on my most anxious days, I'm able to say, look, my mind is not doing what I wanted to do, but I know that Jesus is my peace. And over time, Susie, it has soothed what I thought could never heal in me because I don't give the anxiety any power. It's like a girl riding in the back seat of my car named Anxiety. She's there, but she's not in the front seat. Jesus is there as my Prince of Peace. I don't know if that makes sense or helps.
Yeah, well, you know, friends who've been listening a long time know this has been a rough year for me physically. And what it did bring up for me, because I battled so much in my young adult years with Lyme disease, and it brought up this embedded fear that I didn't even know was there, an embedded dread. It just, the storm just stirred it all up. But it was a reckoning time, a reckoning day for me. And it was the same kind of thing, Heather, where I just had to determine, this is scary stuff, but I'm still refusing a spirit of fear because that's not what God gave me.
Yes.
In fact, if I have to face something difficult, I'm facing it with the Prince of Peace. I mean, I literally had to put my snark on to say, I am not going there because going there was so bad for my soul. And eventually my body did catch up and my spirit and my soul settled down. So even now when I have some symptoms here and there, it doesn't wreck everything else. There's something about contending. I feel like it's planting a seed. It takes a while to see the sprout. I feel like the change happens underground and invisibly before we start to see proof of it, don't you think?
It's true. In fact, with my teens, I have two teen girls, and they give permission, full permission for me to talk about them on the radio. They both battle anxiety and kind of that, you know, before school, sometimes after school, before tests. Well, I say, girls, we're in the fortress of His care.
Mm-hmm.
He is our Prince of Peace. And the picture that the biblical writers give from Psalm 23 is the smooth, still water. That is true at all times. And I say, look, the anxiety, your mind may rage today, but look, picture the fortress, picture the smooth water, and just say to Jesus, I know you're my peace. Talk to him about what you're afraid of and why. And over time, you're right, it does catch up. I mean, as a daily spiritual practice, my youngest daughter, Kate, and I have been talking about this every day. We keep a prayer journal where we talk to Jesus about what her anxiety is in the morning. We write down the fear because it says, I quoted about approaching the throne of grace with confidence that we might receive mercy and help in our time of need. You know, anxiety is a great time of need because you often have, you know, imaginary fears, but also real fears, real actual fears. I mean, people are dying all over the world. There's, you know, malnutrition, there's disease. Scripture says that outwardly we will waste away, but inwardly we can be renewed every day.
Amen. Back with Heather Holloman. Great conversation. We'll be back in just a moment. Here's a question for you. Do you ever feel like your soul is just sort of stuck in a dungeon, or you wake up feeling hopeless, discouraged, and depleted before you even get out of bed? Maybe you long to live the life that God has for you in full freedom and wholeness. Well, I'm so glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to Heather Holloman today about her amazing new book, Guarded by Christ. And you write in the book, Heather, because of this guarding God, we learn to dwell in our soul more than in our life's external realities. And we become strong and unshakable in a world that's falling apart. I want you to say more about what it means to dwell in our soul more so than our life's external realities. Because I think one of the reasons we can't say it is well with our soul is because we are so tossed and turned by our external realities.
Well, I just was really fascinated by this idea that Paul prays that we're strengthened with power in our inner being. And you see a lot of passages of scripture talking about what is happening in the soul, even when what's going on around us is falling apart. I mean, it even goes back to Paul writing about being seated with Christ, even when under house arrest in Rome. He was able to picture what was actually true of his soul. So what it's accomplished in me is I'm thinking my soul is forever guarded by God, and he's going to take me safely into his heavenly kingdom. There's actually no guarantee that my life will not have suffering, not have illness, not have, you know, a natural disaster could happen, something could happen. What I'm realizing is I am completely safe and kept in God's hand, and I don't have to fear anymore. I don't have to fear anything. It has provided such stability for me to think more of what is God doing in my soul, even when, you know, even when I'm you know, maybe sick with the flu, which is really hard to, you know, be spirit filled. And, you know, it takes just so little for me to feel unstable when things aren't going well with my body or with, you know, if one of my children is sick or suffering. But I'm just really realizing, you know, I tell the whole family, you know, these things are true in our soul. We know what God is doing in the secret place of our soul. We're strengthened with power here to know God. And you know, Paul says in Corinthians, outwardly, we're wasting away, but inwardly, we're renewed day by day. And I know this is a weird example, but something that gave me a lot of hope was thinking of the number of people I know who are wonderful Christian people who, as they age, go into dementia or Alzheimer's, and yet they lose their mind, and yet their soul is still kept and guarded by God. And I read a beautiful novel where the writer, Elizabeth Gouge, a woman who's losing her mind, goes and sees a priest and says, I don't know what to do. I'm losing my mind. And the priest says, if you lose your mind, you lose it into the hand of God. Hmm. So he's just keeping everything about us, and I don't need to worry about anything. So that stability of dwelling from your inner being, like Paul prayed for us, is something that I wasn't used to thinking about. I wasn't able to dwell in my soul. Everything was about my emotions. Everything was about personal happiness and really making an idol of it. Everything was about, how do I feel today? Am I happy? As opposed to, I am in the fortress of God's care in my soul. He is my peace, my power, my hope, my righteousness, and really learning to live a totally different life.
Boy, Heather, when you think about how many people live by their emotions and they really idolize, how do I feel today? And they go with that, and their whole perspective is dictated by how do I feel today versus moving our perspective. And Paul's such a good example in prison. I mean, this is the joy, the Philippians. I mean, it's like you think about how he describes you, you get joy and strength as you read his story. And the kingdom purposes move forward in and through Paul, because he remembered in prison he was seated with Christ. You see the same, like you referenced Corrie ten Boom. You know, think of Harriet Tubman, any of the greats who've gone before us who endured unbelievable circumstances, but their identity was not up for grabs. Suddenly, other people are strengthened and benefit because of what they're remembering about their own soul. I want you to talk about that ripple effect, because it's amazing how self-focused we can be and how little fruit then comes from, no fruit comes from that place.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. Yes. And it's just a secret joy, this deep abiding with Jesus. Because really all of this book, just like Seated, you know, what Guarded is just a way to think about Jesus. Who are you? How can I know you better? How can I experience you for all that you are and worship you and align my life to you and to be live a crucified life, live hidden in Christ? And just like we talked about earlier, you know, your emotions end up aligning perfectly with what is happening in your soul. And I have found that to be true, especially with my battle with despair feelings or the depression. Depression returns like waves in my life. I don't know if you have listeners that regularly battle these kind of dark moods. They can be terrible, but writing Guarded with Christ really helped me think of a strategy for how do I think about God when I'm really feeling hopeless. So that's when I learned that one of Jesus's guarding names is we're guarded by hope. Romans 15, he is the God of hope. So that was one of my favorite chapters to write, is just hope is always available to us. Jesus is our hope.
Hmm. Here's another excerpt. If it's the soul that's running our lives and organizing everything about us, then understanding what's happening within the soul takes on vital importance. And in your chapter titled Refreshing the Memory, you quoted Dallas Willard as saying, the key then to loving God is to see Jesus, to hold him before the mind with as much fullness and clarity as possible. That's such a packed statement. If you could unpack that whole idea of refreshing the memory, holding Jesus before the mind with as much fullness and clarity as possible.
Well, yes, that's why I think Seated with Christ was such a revolutionary moment for me, reading Ephesians 2. I saw Jesus in the heavenly realms with me. We're there together. That's what that scripture says. So I'm able to hold him before the mind and really adore him and know that I'm accessing all the riches of the kingdom. I'm abiding with him to produce the fruit that he's ordained for my life. When I think of God, the guarding aspects of God, it means I'm able to move through this world, however long I'm left on earth, with everything that attacks us, our emotions, our physical health, anything going on in the world, I'm able to hold Jesus before my mind as my righteousness, my peace, my hope, my power. I'm able to think about living a crucified life, and I'm able to have that clarity each day. But it takes work for me. I have to think of images. I use compare and contrast. I have my anchoring Bible verses. I mean, I daily have to renew my mind to hold Jesus clearly and accurately as Scripture describes about who he is. So Guarded has really helped me think about, Jesus, who are you? What are you doing in my soul? How can I know you better?
You know, Heather, another thing, too, is to think about his provision in the very place of our angst. You know, for me, with the health stuff, just something, Lord just led me into a time during my prayer time just to thank him for all the ways he's actually brought provision in the midst of a pretty significant battle. And I would issue that challenge to anybody, whatever your area is. Can you, in that place, look at God's provision and start to count those things? Because we minimize and diminish that because we don't have the fullness of what we want. And also a time, just during one of my prayer times, just spend some time thanking God for the things that he didn't allow to happen to me, things that he protected me from that I had no idea that were in my pathway. I mean, we can look, get stressed out when we think of some of the things we've gone through, but what about what we haven't gone through?
Yes. Yes, and I love that. One thing I'm learning right now is that whatever situation you're in, God chose you for that situation because he wants to display his power there. Mm-hmm. Isn't that so exciting?
Yeah.
It's been really exciting to think, Jesus, okay, I'm here right now. Like right now there's a, you know, blizzard in Pennsylvania. You know, I'm stuck at home with the girls today. We decided to go care for a neighbor. And I thought, Jesus, this is the reality of my life today. I'm stuck in Center County doing nothing. How do you want to display your power here? How do you want to use me to bear fruit? Because, you know, and you're really set free from yourself. You're set free from your emotions. And it's really great to just have that kind of maturity. I mean, originally when I read James 1, that this idea of the mature man who's mature and complete, not lacking anything, that's been the journey that I've been on the last, you know, 2 years, just thinking through what does inner maturity look like? You know, I don't lack anything. Jesus is everything that I need.
Well, Heather, I remember with Seated with Christ, you mentioned how your friends noticed a certain stability in you once you started to ponder the idea that you're seated with Christ. You just, where before there was angst about being left out, about missing out on some of the things you thought maybe you needed to have, and suddenly there was a settledness in you. Have they identified anything in you or just loved ones as you've wrestled this deep, deep truth into the just the depths of your soul? Anybody giving you feedback on just how you seem or how you convey your thoughts?
Oh, it's so funny you ask that because the people who know me best, when they read Guarded, do you know what they said, Susie? Hmm. They said, Heather, we had no idea that you struggled so much with these hard mindsets. And I really realized there are people all over the world that love Jesus, and yet daily they do not experience the freedom of being a child of God. They're really battling these toxic mindsets. And the mindsets, like we said before, are that condemnation, anxiety, hopelessness, feeling fragile and too weak, and being self-obsessed. So the big surprise was, Heather, you really seemed like you were doing okay. You know, it's so strange that you really struggled internally so much. And I thought, you know, I am not the only one.
Amen, you're not.
And when the book came out, a lot of people were like, I can't believe you wrote about depression. I can't believe you wrote about anxiety. Mm. You know, me too, me too. And a lot of letters, even this morning, a precious reader sent me a letter about, and they all say this, it all begins the same way. It says, it feels like you're inside my head. Mm. You write the story of my battle. And they're, you know, they come out of the woodwork, you know, they're embarrassed that they have anxiety and depression. And they say things like, you know, seeing myself in the fortress of his care and knowing that Jesus is my hope, knowing that he's my peace, they begin to see some really powerful transformation. So I do think that my husband has noticed that I am much more stable in terms of my moods since writing Guarded. Praise God. Any listeners that are like, well, that is, you know, that is the best thing ever, you know, because I don't need to be afraid of bad moods because I don't live in my emotions anymore.
Well, and Heather, you're a high producer, so I'm sure your friends did. You manage probably more and better things better than you even think. But I love your honesty because we all deal with that, guys or gals. And we've got a break coming up here in a couple minutes, and I want to say this carefully. We have a doctor on that comes on once a month, and it's just an amazing conversation we have with him. It's called Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. And one of the things we've touched on there that I want to touch on here is there is a place, and I know you've said this too, there's a place for medicine. If you've got a chemical imbalance, there's absolutely a place. But I would venture to say that more often than not, we're treating symptoms and not going to the root cause. And so many of the spurts and surges of anxiety and depression and frustration that we feel that aren't chemical could be so solved if we could get to the bottom of what lie are we believing, what truth are we needing in the moment. And as you said, you've had to apply yourself to this stuff. And I want to say this carefully because there is a place for medicine, but I feel like there may be somebody listening today that God has a deeper freedom for you, that he just wants to walk you to a deeper place. And you speak to this, and feel free to disagree with me, Heather, if you need to.
No, I agree. I mean, I've been on medication. I've been on in therapy. I've done it all, you know. And what I was really shocked at, you know, in Lamentations 3, Jeremiah actually gives a strategy to heal from depression, which I employed, and I've been doing it for the past 6 years. So before we go to the break, should that be the teaser?
Yes.
What I did?
You are a pro, let me just tell you. Talking to Heather Holloman today. Title of her book, Guarded by Christ, Knowing the God Who Rescues and Keeps Us. So on the other side, you heard her. She's going to talk about the recipe she found in Scripture for battling depression and anxiety. Email if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Remember your mailing address, and we will be back in a minute. Mighty is our God. This is from my guest today. Did you know that we are created for hope? With hope, we have confident belief and expectation of God's goodness to us, a confident belief and expectation that God is at work in the midst of any circumstance, and a confident belief and expectation that Jesus guards our souls and provides everything we need at this very moment. Talking to Heather Holloman today, I love this girl. Love her new book, Guarded by Christ, Knowing the God Who Rescues and Keeps Us. Before the break, I walked carefully on this, and I'm walking carefully still to say that, and I too, I'll just full disclosure, about 20 years ago, walked through depression. And so for 1 year, I was on an antidepressant. There is a place for that when there's chemical imbalances. But what I was saying is that there are times, I believe, that we're so quick to treat symptoms and slow to get to the root cause that oftentimes when we have surges of anxiety, despair, frustration, we can do a little digging, get with the Lord, open the Word. We can find some truth for some kind of lie or places we're letting our emotions just sort of go rogue. And you'd said before the break, Heather, that you actually found a recipe to deal with and battle through your depression. Take it from there, if you would.
Well, what I love about learning that I'm guarded by hope was I began to look for hopeless people in Scripture. And if you read Lamentations 3, you will find the most depressed person in all of Scripture. A lot of people quote this passage, but they don't tell you exactly how bad it is. Jeremiah basically says this, I've been deprived of peace. I have forgotten what prosperity is. And he says this terrible line, my splendor is gone and all I had hoped for from the Lord. Now, my depression began with that idea. You know, I battled 6 years, and a lot of it was based in this idea that I do not like my life. Nothing I had hoped for has come about. I don't know what peace is. You know, here I am sounding a lot like Jeremiah. Well, in Lamentations 3, he says this, yet, and he even says, my soul is downcast. But then he says, yes, this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. I will wait for him. And then it says, the Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. So as I looked at that passage, I thought, God, I want to look for your new mercies every morning. I want to believe that every day you have a gift for me to unwrap, a new mercy, because that's what Jeremiah does. And so for 6 years, I blogged every day. I have written thousands of gratitude posts about some moment that I'm thankful for, some new mercy of God, and it began to heal my brain. It rewired my brain to hope. It trained my mind in hope. And it was such a fun activity because I felt so terrible that I would say, God, you have to show your love to me today. I have to see it. Will you open my eyes? And that was the first spiritual practice, was writing down the new mercies of God, just like Jeremiah. But if you remember, the second thing is he truly believes in God's goodness to him. So the best question to ask yourself is, do you believe that God is for you or against you? And when I asked myself that question, I knew that a part of my depression was I really believed God was against me. And when I looked at Romans 8 and I thought, you know what, God, you are for me. You are for me. You are working out all things for good. I can trust you even with this depression. Do I believe that you're for me? And the third thing that I noticed from this passage that I outline as another great question is, will I forget the past and believe God is making a way? Now, God really used Isaiah, this idea that, you know, he says, do not dwell on the former things, forget the past. He says, God is making a roadway in the wilderness and streams in the desert. I just love that passage in Isaiah that, you know, God is making a way. Do we not perceive it? He's so good to us. So those three questions, do I believe in the new mercies of God each day? Will I look for them? Number two, do I believe God is for me or against me? And number three, will I choose to forget the past and believe God is making a way for me? It began to change the way my brain experienced my day. So that was a big part of my therapy, and it's part of my practice each day. Just what do biblical writers do when they were depressed? So there's just some things I do. I don't know what you think about it, but that the gratitude has been confirmed by scientific research.
Absolutely.
That gratitude is good for the brain. And this idea, you know, God is for you, and he presents himself as hope. Romans 15:5 says, may the God of hope fill you with all peace and joy so that you may overflow with hope by the Holy Spirit. So just surrendering to Jesus, even saying to him, I cannot handle this depression. My life is falling apart. I submit myself entirely into your care. My life verse is Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That was a huge verse in the midst of my own battle with depression, to just say, God, you take all of me. I cannot take care of myself. I don't know what you're doing with my mind, but be my healer. You can do whatever you want with my life. I'll live the life I ask you to. And sure enough, God healed me. And, you know, it took a lot of therapy. I had been on medication, like I said, but mostly it was digging deep into the Word of God, letting his authoritative word transform and renew my mind, which is the hope of Scripture. It says clearly in Romans that the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace.
Amen. The life controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. I feel like you just threw somebody a lifeline. And just as we've covered some of this on the show about just the brain science, how interesting it is that those unhealthy neurocircuits actually get fused, or they just sort of get cauterized when we neglect them. So as we're going into joy and gratitude, it's the quickest way to rewire new circuits. And I'm telling you, I've learned the same thing, Heather, that you almost have to take sides against yourself to go, I am not going there. I'm not letting my emotions rule the day. And what happens, though, it's amazing, as you put that into practice, and as I have, it becomes instinctive not to go, for me to go to fear, where it was instinctive to go to fear. So there is something to be said about guarding our hearts, for out of it flows the issues of life. God is our guard. But talk about a little bit more even about our responsibility in this, so that our souls aren't so tossed and turned.
Well, the one thing that I would add that I haven't written in Guarded, but it's coming up in my new Bible study and a book coming out that's in a proposal stage, is just the role of when Paul talks about renewing our mind, there is an element of confession and repentance. a lot of times it's me coming to God saying, God, I have controlled and directed my own life. I have lived out of my mind. And just being able to confess to God areas of sin, areas of self-direction, self-empowerment, self-obsession, and saying to God, in a new way every day, I consecrate myself to you. You come in afresh and control, you know, organize and control this soul again today. So that's something that I, you know, our responsibility is to position ourselves before the Lord every day, to come to him with a cleansed heart, because all revival happens on the foot, you know, at the heels of repentance. All revival happens when we say again to God, you know, I am a sinner. I need you to rescue me. I am entrenched in sin. Sin causes trouble and distress. Everything that I'm dealing with has its root in some sin. If you search the scriptures, sin is not something to be trifled with. I mean, that's why we're rescued and kept. If you look at what is sin doing in our life, it is working destruction. So our responsibility, I believe, is to go to the Lord each day and say, God, is there anything in my life that doesn't please you? You know, place me again in the fortress of your care, even though you never leave the fortress of his care, just that renewed sense of, God, you know, I've tried to do this in my own strength. Come and renew me and help me experience you as my guardian God once again. That's something I'm thinking about more and more, because I think we forget about what sin is doing. We don't like to talk about it a lot. We don't talk about confession and repentance, mm-hmm. but it's become a big part of my practice. God, you know, is there anything in my life that doesn't please you? Is there any way I'm giving the devil a foothold? And that's my way of renewing my mind and experiencing the intimacy with Jesus again. You know, I don't know. What do you think? Do you feel that's something that's been missing?
Absolutely. 100%. And it's like we've changed the gospel into this self-help kind of thing. I mean, truly where we've watered it down to appeal to the consumer, but we're dead in our sins and Christ died for us. And even as we are in Christ, the things we don't really want to hear or talk about are the very things that are gateways to the enemy having access to our souls. And so God is so loving, as we say, search our hearts, and he brings things to mind. It's never with condemnation. To me, it's always about invitation, you know, upward and onward, yes. Dear one. And may we know that. And, oh, Heather, this has been so good. And I'm excited to take a look at your Bible study, and congratulations on this just fantastic book. I'm thinking of that person listening today who just has been upended by the distress in their soul today. Would you pray for that person?
Yes, I would love to. Jesus, we pray for the person listening that just needs a fresh encounter with you. God, we know you use your word, but you can use anything. We just pray that you would show the wonder of your great love to the people listening that need to just know you in a new way. We pray for that joy and peace to fill them, and that they would be certain of their safe care, that they're in your safe care. They're in the fortress of your care. And thank you that you love them so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Heather, appreciate you so much, and thank you for the time today.
Thank you. This was such a great interview. I loved it. Thank you so much.
Good conversation. Again, Heather's book is titled Guarded by Christ, Knowing the God Who Rescues and Keeps Us, author Heather Holloman. If you want in on the drawing, just email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Remember your mailing address. Thank you so much for listening today. I pray your soul was encouraged. Hope you get a better understanding of God's part and our part. God has paid the price. Jesus has done the greatest miracle. May we apprehend it through faith. All right, remember this. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and he is the one who's going to keep you strong to the end. So walk intimately with him, do what he says, and follow him. He loves you so much. We'll meet you back here next time.